This is the last opportunity for me and for Helen to speak to you as leaders of Marlow Congregation. Next week we'll be praying Dave in, and obviously he's going to be sharing something of his vision for the congregation going forward. And so we thought, well, what should we bring to this? And in preparing for this today, we decided that we'd look through all the things we'd said in our various talks and preaches on Sundays since we'd been here. And we felt that the things that we brought when we first arrived are still relevant, really. They form part of the continuity of the congregation going forward. So Dave will bring new things, but this is part of our legacy, if you like. And we were conscious that, you know, we are part of a long heritage here. So what we've done is just really held the reins for a while and perhaps brought something into what is the character and the nature of Marlow. And in particular, at the beginning of 2008, I shared some things from Isaiah. And when we look back at what we'd spoken about in the subsequent years, it was amazing how many common threads there were, that things actually seemed to link together. We didn't consciously try and link them together, but they did seem to fit. What we wanted to do this morning was really just to share some of those things with you again, to leave them with you, to remind you of them, to refresh your memory. And for some of you, you won't have heard them before, probably, but hopefully they'll be encouraging things for you. We've said many times that the word we had from Al about being an aircraft carrier leader or aircraft carrier leaders, about providing a platform for others to take up from, was important. And so I suppose I'm hoping that as we head into dry dock for a refit, that what we actually leave will still be there as part of that platform for the congregation going forward. So we're going to try and do this together. I don't know at what point Helen's going to stand up beside me, but probably after in a minute or two, we'll wave at each other. But in terms of putting this in context, at the beginning of 2008, there was a Churches Together prayer meeting. It was a 24/7 prayer event that took place at Marlow Christian Fellowship. And I was there at one of the sessions and read a chunk of Isaiah. And I felt that God said to me, this is a piece of scripture for the congregation. There's things in here for Marlow that are important. And so what I'm going to do is have a look particularly at chapters 60, 61, 62. And they come from a section of Isaiah that gives promises of a great and glorious future for Zion. And in that, that's a picture of the church, and I believe a picture of Marlow as a congregation. So it is about promises that God's got for you. And these passages follow on. It's interesting in the light of what Sandra was saying about her friend. They follow on from the promise of salvation through Jesus and from all who confess their sin and believe on him. And so we're coming from that promise of what Jesus has done, then these things will actually be coming to us. And I think it's important that we recognise that in all of this, it comes from Jesus. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. It's not through what we do. It's through what he's done for us. So there were five things that I thought were important that I felt God was saying to us at this time. The first one was strengthening. The word that came to me was strengthening. It says in, just before we start this passage in chapter 16, 59 verse 21, it says, "As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and evermore." God's promise to us is that he's put his spirit on us and he's put his words in our mouth. And in doing this, he's equipping us for lives of righteousness and to proclaim his word, Jesus, to everyone. And the sense in this to me was that it requires an active participation by each of us, working in cooperation with God, to seek his presence and to be temples of the Holy Spirit, to keep his word in our hearts. And it says in Matthew 12, verse 34, what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. In 1 Peter 3:15 in the Message, it says, "Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks you why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy." So part of our strengthening is not just for ourselves, it's actually for what we have to give to others. But how does that happen? It happens by taking time to understand who we are in God, what his promises are for us, and through reading and studying the Word. Now, Helen and I have often talked about our vision for growing free-range Christians. Yeah, that as individuals, we're able to grow and nourish ourselves, become strong in our own faith, so that we're not blown off course by every little wind that comes along. But also, it means that we have good news to share Her strengthening for us as a congregation and individually is about the blessing it brings us, but it's also about the blessing that we are into others.
Yes, a promise to put his spirit in us and equip us, and that's and what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. So the first weekend away that we had, if you were there, you'll remember that we talked about the rhythm of our lives. And that was the main passage for that was Matthew 11, 28 from the 30 from the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that, unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I love that passage of scripture as well, isn't it? How do we keep company with Jesus? How do we walk with his Holy Spirit? How do we live in the promise of Isaiah 59:21? Well, different ways suit different people. That's what we found on our weekend. Some of us like studying, some of us like wandering about in nature, some of us like worshipping with music. There's all different ways of doing it. But we need to make sure that the rhythm of our lives is not too frantic, that we don't have time to spend with God. And that's not easy. Even church stuff, you know, they say the good can be the enemy of the best, don't they? So, you know, even good stuff can still be preventing us from actually spending time with God, and that's that unforced rhythm of grace that we need. We need to stay connected. We need to stay part of the vine. And as Jesus said in John 15, because without him, we can do nothing. And that's absolutely true.
The second word was praying. It was about us being a praying congregation. And first of all, that we recognise that we are a royal priesthood as individuals, that we have authority to pray. We've been given authority. And that comes through quite strongly in chapter 61, verse 6. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. And as a church, as a congregation in Marlow, and as individuals, we need to recognise the authority that we've been given and start to move into it. But it's not just about the authority. There's also a sense that we need to persist. This isn't a one-time thing. We're called to persistent prayer. And if we go to 62, verse 6... it says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And that picture of watchmen also said something, some other things to me. Really, if you imagine being watchmen on the walls, you're high up. It's a place where we actually have a voice that we can speak into our community, where we're up in a high place, to pray into situations that we see from afar. And I think it's no coincidence that we've been involved in Marlow Youth Centre. You know, that place physically is on a hill in Marlow. And that gives us a high place. And we may not yet have seen the fullness of what we can do there, but that, I think, strategically gives us something that's visible in this town where we can see what's going on. And some of it's not very pretty, but it's things we know are happening that we need to pray into. So it speaks to us about being a place where we can see what's happening, both in terms of threat and protection that we need for us as a congregation. But it also gives us a high place where we can see what's going on in the church, what's going on around us, what God's doing in the land. It's a place from which we can bring encouragement. So in terms of prophecy and words of encouragement, it gives us a huge vantage point when people are standing in a high place praying on behalf of the congregation. Now, I think some of you, you know, for each of us in the congregation, you should identify with that or not, as the case may be, but some of you specifically will feel that you are called to be watchmen, you're called to be in those high places, persisting in prayer on behalf of the town and behalf of this congregation. And if that's you today, then I think, you know, that's something, claim it again. Take it back to God and say, yes, this is something for me, this is something I want to do. But I think it is a shared duty as well. It's something we're all called to do, so we can't just absolve that responsibility to everybody else. When we put ourselves in that place of prayer, then God honours what we bring. So I just want to encourage everyone on that.
Yeah, you might guess then what my next thing was. You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. Those of you around when we started again will remember the word I had for you all was that you were a peculiar people. From 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special or peculiar people. so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We had prayer stones to remind us that we were the people who had received mercy and that we had the authority to go out and pray for our neighbours, our friends and families. And authority is an important thing. If we don't feel we've been given authority in a situation, we don't necessarily have the confidence to do the job as well as we could. But Jesus tells us he will give us authority over all the power of the enemy, and as we spend time with him, we'll grow in that.
I'll try to do several things at once. It's funny, actually. I was thinking today, what is the overriding thing? This is an aside, and it was about God's heart for us, really, as a congregation. And I just looked in my pockets, and somebody gave me this. I think it was last week, and it was stuck in my jeans when it had been washed. But I didn't know that it was there until I just put my hand in. I thought, what's that? But I just want to show that to you. God's heart for us. Anyway, the third word we had was about healing. Healing, transformation, wholeness for us as individuals and for our community. And we see in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, just an amazing picture of that. This is something that Jesus references in the synagogue when he's speaking in Luke 4:18.
Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, that the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
So I don't know about you, but that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see in this congregation. That's what I want to see in this town. We expect these things to happen in our meetings, but in our daily lives with the people around us. And again, it calls us really to think about how we do this, how we cooperate with God on this, because it's not something we do in our own strength. But we can, individually and as a body, put ourselves in that place where we can be available, first of all, to be healed ourselves, to be made whole, but also to help others, to give that offer of healing and wholeness to those that we meet in our town.
Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That section of scripture that Jesus read out in the synagogue, Roger Ellis spoke about those verses from Isaiah being Jesus' manifesto, and so they were. The time Jesus spent on earth we call the incarnation, or the in flesh, it means time. And now we are the body of Christ, and this should be our manifesto, because we are now the flesh of Jesus on the planet, the hands and the feet and the listening ears of God. And in order to affect a community, we have to be part of that community. And as a church, Marlo, you have been really, really good at that. I just wanted to say, visible stuff like River Life and Holiday Week and the Youth Club, and the less visible stuff, the prayer walking, the being good neighbours, the being business people with integrity, the just being. You bring healing, just being who you are in the community of Marlo. The wounds and sickness aren't always so obvious in Marlow, but the Lord has put you and will continue to put you, his body, alongside those who need help.
Growing. 60 verse 3. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. So we're seeing here a picture of growth, of people coming to this place. And it comes from two sources. Firstly, sons and daughters. It speaks of sons and daughters. Now, when we first came to Marlow, one of the words that Helen had particularly was about prodigals, about the return of prodigals. And I think we've seen that happen to some extent already, but there are still those that we know, each one of us, friends, relatives, family, that have moved away from Marlow congregation, that have moved away from God, that we want to see restored. And I believe that is still a word for us to keep praying for those people. Sometimes it takes a long time for breakthrough, but we need to be praying for those that we want to see come back into the fullness of being part of the body of Christ, being part of Marlow. And I think you've probably got some specific people on your hearts. You know, maybe just take a second or two and just lift them before God now, just before we move on. Now, I believe in terms of prodigals, it's not just people that we know. There may be other people, other Christians who've moved away from God, who'll be called back to this place and find their relationship with him again through being part of this body. But the passage also talks of the Gentiles, and I think we need to get excited that we will see new people come to know Jesus. It's not just about those who've come back to him, but those who've never known him in the first place. And in chapter 60, verse 5, it also talks about the resources that these newcomers will bring and how they'll give their best to see God glorified. And that's not just about financial resources. It's actually about the richness that they will bring to us as a body. And I think we will benefit. Sometimes it might be difficult. Sometimes it might be strange because they might not be like us. But I think there's an excitement about having new people added to us as a number. There was a picture that I had then, which one is I still carry really, which is this place being a home. And that sounds, you know, not terribly profound. But it was in the delight of us having relaxed family dinners together. I don't know if you have relaxed family dinners. They weren't always relaxed in our house. But the family dinner picture was important to me because we come as we are to the family dinner, don't we? You know, dinner arrives on the table. Or maybe not in your house, I don't know. But however it works. But we come together, whatever we're doing, dressed as we are, whatever we've been up to, and we're there together, and we join in together. It's not like going out to a restaurant for a meal where we put our best clothes on and our best behaviour and maybe aren't really real with each other. And this I see as a home being a place where we can be real with one another. And it's a home with doors and windows that are wide open, that welcomes everybody, family, friends, passers-by, whatever religion, whatever race, whatever background, whatever they've been up to, everyone's welcome. And it's a home where we find friendship and feeding and rest and peace and a place where we find God's presence. That's what I believe this place will be. It's a place that's open 24/7. If you look at 60 verse 11, it says, "Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day and night, that we never turn anyone away, that they're always welcome here." But having those doors open obviously invites people in, but it's a place that we can go out from as well. It's a gateway into the community. In 62 verse 10 it says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the peoples. So I think the openness of this congregation is going to be key in our growth together, but also in the way that we impact our community.
Growing, yeah. A word I had in January 2010 was that we needed to be safe and dangerous. And Jesus was safety to those who flocked to him. The people who came to him, they came for healing, they came for life. The vulnerable felt secure. They knew there was no condemnation in the love of Christ. That love was that perfect love that casts out fear. Yet to the prince of this world, the enemy, he was the most dangerous person that ever lived. And his body, the church, worshipping, forgiving, welcoming, nourishing gang of people, just like you lot, that's a dangerous place for the enemy to be. People are desperate for acceptance and rest and healing and safety. Also a place to be free to use their talents and their gifts and to know that they're loved and that they're significant. And they can search in all kinds of weird places for that kind of thing. But it's the truth that we have that brings freedom and healing. And we will all grow in ourselves, and the church will grow the more that people know that.
Number 5. Oh, that wasn't supposed to happen then, but it's all come on together. That's all right. Influencing. A lot of what we've talked about so far has been about us as a body and about people coming in here, but I think we are called not just here to feel comfortable and nice and have a pleasant time. We're here to influence. We talked about influence in terms of healing, but I think we're here to change our community. And just a couple of scriptures from 62, verse 1, first of all. they give us some idea of the kind of influence that Zion or the church will have. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. And in 60 verse 1, one of my favourite verses, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Yeah, God's glory will be seen upon us, and that's some glory that we have to take out into our community. That we will, as we go out into our community, people around us will start to take notice. That, the things we've already talked about, really all five of these things, I suppose, will be part of our distinctive, that we bring a different flavour to the community that we're in. Not that we're going to try and convince people by clever words or anything like that, but what Helen said about being incarnational, about being, we bring a different flavour to Marlow. And the world will look to us for righteousness that comes from God, from what God has done for us. And it's not just for us, it's not just for us sitting in this room now, our younger people aren't here at the moment, but it is for the generations that follow. In 61 verse 9, I'm not going to read that, but it actually says about the generations to come as well. And I was encouraged as I was looking through this to find that Jesus picks up on this, and he picks up on the open home image actually in Matthew in chapter 5 verses 14 to 16. This is from the Message. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. We talked about colours earlier on, didn't we? God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. A high place again. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, our generous Father in heaven. So we're called to shine in this community. And as I said, Marlow Youth Centre to me is a prime example of a physical location where we can do that. But we also need to understand that we're one light in a city of lights or in a town of lights, and that's his church. And I believe that the time is when we're going to need to combine our lights with the other lights in Marlow, with the other churches in Marlow, and think of ourselves not just as a single candle, but as part of a lampstand. And imagine how much more light we can bring if we move that lampstand together rather than candle by candle. So it's easy to look at ourselves, it's easy to look at us as a congregation and think, well, it's incredibly daunting, you know, there's a few of us here, Marlow's got so many problems, it's a really difficult thing for us to go out there and influence and make a difference. But we already see testimonies of differences being made through the things that we do, that all that you are doing in the community. And although we are a small group, I believe that God has promised this congregation influence far beyond its size. And there's lots of things going on that Helen and I don't know about. But there are lots of things, I think, where we have influence. And it says, just to finish on this point, not to finish entirely, but in 60 verse 22, a little one shall become a thousand and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten this in its time. And I think this congregation will be known as a strong nation. And that's not about numerical size, but in terms of the influence that it has.
Marlow Church, you are unique, incredibly talented, incredibly gifted people. We describe leading Marlow as managing leaders, and that's absolutely true, because that's just the atmosphere, and that's just the kind of people that you are. So be confident in your voice. We have important messages to bring to this town. People unfortunately have preconceived and unfortunate ideas about what Christians are like and what they believe. And we can be a different voice. We can be a calmer and more rational voice. Our ideas about heaven and hell are not rooted in faulty medieval theology. We don't have to discount all scientific knowledge when we talk about the natural world and its origins. We don't ignore 50% of the population when we choose our leaders because of their gender. And we really believe that the forgiveness and grace of God are big enough to give everyone a fresh start, whatever their background or their mistakes of the past. Having said all that, we welcome people who may well disagree with us on any of the above. because love's the most important thing. It's more important than doctrines. I talked once about finding our voice. You have an important and a unique voice in this town, and shouldn't be afraid to use it. Someone also once said that organising something in Marlow was like herding cats. Well, that's okay, because I love cats. And anyway, no one in their right mind would want to turn you lot into a herd. You're very special, and it has been such a privilege to be here, and we are going to miss you.
So, one last slide. These are words that are picked out of those verses, which I really just want to speak over you as a congregation. First of all, it says that your heart will swell with joy, that this will be a joyous place for each one of you, that your hearts will be full of joy, that you'll be radiant people. We talked about shining, our lights on a hill, but each one of you individually will shine. I was thinking about Moses, you know, when he went up the mountain and came back and his face shone so much, that we'll be individuals, each one of you will shine for God. There'll be a righteousness about us as a people. That comes from God, from what Jesus has done for us, not for our own efforts to be clean, but for what he brings to us. But it will be a statement into the town that we are different from those around us. It says that you'll be God's delight. And you need to know that you are God's delight. Now you are his delight, every one of you. There's a favourite scripture of mine in Zephaniah at the end that says God will delight over you and sing over you. I can't remember the exact words at the moment, but look it up. It's a fabulous word. And because of this special flavour of each one of you special people, you'll be sought out. I want to pray that people will come to us as a church, but they'll come to you as individuals in your workplace, wherever. They'll see something different in you that attracts them. They'll know that whatever their situation, whatever their problem, even if they just want to be a friend, because you're a nice person to be a friend with, then you will be sought out. So, Father, I just pray those things over the congregation. Bless you.